News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. It is a Peace Officer Day today. And again, we've got Jason Marlow with us from the Iowa State Patrol. We've had Jason, you've done more, I think you've done more shows by yourself probably than anybody else.
Kevin, well, the chief and the sheriff are obviously way busier than I am. That's the answer to that.
Kevin Glenn Denning's done a few shows by himself. But, you know, it's the fact is you've been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
You're coming up on 30 years.
30 years, yeah. Started back in 1996, went through the academy that summer after graduating from college, came to Iowa, and certainly has been a great career for me, and have, you know, experienced a wide variety of things. Met
all kinds of people
and been all kinds of places.
Well, you were to say, what's the biggest difference from 30 years ago
yep.
to what it is now? And obviously things have changed. What is the biggest difference in your life and as an officer from then to now?
Hands down, technology. And I think everybody could say the same.
Yeah.
And you would be no different in your
yeah.
job. You know, I look at my father and my brother who are farmers, same thing, the amount of changes that they've seen in that time frame. When I started, we still wrote everything down by pen and paper, you know, from reports to payroll entries to, you know, citations and warnings. It was all done, you know, through a ticket book or a warning book. And now that's all computerized. We've also certainly seen a huge increase in information that is
yeah.
available, you know, and I know you've had yeah. some time as a dispatcher where you would run maybe a license plate and you'd get some information about the car and who owned it and potentially the driver and maybe the last few months of the driving record.
1027 and a 1028.
You got it. And we still use those terms. But now what you see is just additional information and things that, you know, for the officer on the street hopefully provides another layer of safety. You know, more information about everything is you know, certainly valuable. I'm not somebody that wants every single thing tracked, so I don't maybe go to that extreme of information, but there are some values to what that provides.
Technology and radar, how has that changed?
Yeah, a lot of things still the same there. Now, some of the stuff that we've seen from a radar standpoint from the State Patrol is the ability to incorporate moving radar. When I first started, the radar units that we had always would operate in a stationary mode. What I mean by that is the patrol vehicle or the actual radar unit itself had to be stationary, had to be
right.
stopped. You also had the opportunity to check cars that were moving in an opposite direction of the patrol vehicle, so that was a moving radar. Now we have same lane technology, and there's opportunities to use that through enforcement. It comes in handy certainly on a four-lane roadways. One of the big changes that we've seen throughout the state on the interstate system specifically is the cable barriers. So if I'm traveling
right.
east on I-80 and I see a car that's traveling, you know, westbound at 100 miles an hour, in the old days you would have cut the median and made your way through there. Now there's a cable barrier. You can't do that. And there's also limited turnaround points. That's primarily to limit vehicular traffic from making
right.
that decision. And you sometimes see that with a no U-turn sign.
Right.
But that cable barrier creates a lot of no U-turn opportunities, and that also affects the enforcement. So radar, for the most part, is still the same. The biggest change is the technology, the in-car computers,
yeah.
the ability to track things through GPS, and also to communicate with other agencies. You know, we've always had the radio, and we still use the radio for communication, but there's so much behind-the-scenes opportunities to have contact through an instant messaging system, a system we call MOC, and most law enforcement agencies and pretty much all of us in Southeast Iowa have that system. So we can talk back and forth. We can share information. They can set up, you know, geofences. So, for instance, there's a stolen car. And
mm-hmm.
stolen cars are important, especially
right.
for the people that have
right.
had them stolen and the law enforcement agency that's trying to find them. But if there's a car stolen in, let's say, Omaha, Nebraska today, and, you know, is there a chance that it would come through Burlington? Sure, there's a chance. But if I'm in and around that area, and as I drive through that, it puts up an alert.
Yeah.
So you can see that. So all that information is there, but it's not necessarily bombarding the officers, you know, day in and day out with stuff
that they may not run across. One of the things that I'm talking about, the thing is, if you want to send a text message, now text messages, you can actually have text. Basically, you put a voice, you can voice your text You don't have to, then it goes to whoever you want to have it go to. You just say who you want to have it go to, and it's there, and it's in, well, basically it's in not just audio, but you're actually able to read it off. I would imagine that would be something that you would be doing too. Is what you're sending. You want to send a text about some information, you're sending it, and that's turning into basically a written or basically a visual screening, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, I like to think that we practice what we preach. I know there are people that have asked, if I can't be on my phone when I'm driving, why are you able to do certain things? And there are stuff that's written into the law that allows first responders in official capacities,
right,
to do that. One of the things that the State Patrol has done is we've implemented a system onto our laptop computers that pretty much locks it out when you reach a certain miles per hour. And it's relatively low.
Right.
I think it's around 15 miles per hour. So I like to think that, you know, if I'm using that form of communication, I'm also doing it legally. Again, that practice what you preach concept. And you know, we had some early challenges with that, with some of our troopers across the state that, you know, were distracted during their day with some information and some technology, but we've adapted and we've made some changes statewide there.
We've talked about I was just hearing, frankly, about technology. It was the road use minute that we have on the air talking about technology. It's automakers possibly making vehicles or having an option there and there where I know you've seen a breathalyzer where you have to breathe into something to start your car, but they're talking about something that's going to sense whether you've got, whether your touch or your breath or any of the things that you're doing, all of those facets of you are going to be tested to see, frankly, if you're impaired, it's going to show up on a screen and it's going to basically lock your car down.
Yeah, again, I know there's going to be lots of things that probably happen in the future that I can't wrap my mind around, and that may or may not be one of them. You know, I still look at the opportunity for most drivers,
yeah,
to make good choices on their own, and I would prefer that method versus legislative action
that
governs every particular decision.
Well, that is the objection to it, is that it's a privacy issue, and the fact is that and also how is security, and also how good how reliable is the testing that is being done? And frankly, that's really the key here as well. I think the fact that if somebody's impaired, and I don't care what we had Tiger Woods just recently, he had a breathalyzer, but he had there was nothing out of the breathalyzer, but he had he had pain pills, and I don't know. I suppose what is the rule in terms of Iowa? He was in Florida. He said he was asked to do a test, to take a test on that, and he said no.
I would think many states are similar in what they look at, but I'll talk specifically about Iowa since I'm a member of the Iowa State Patrol, and this is where my law enforcement career has been. When I first started, there was a huge emphasis on drunk driving. That's what you heard all the time,
right,
the concept of drunk driving. As time has gone on, that has changed, and we've seen that because of opportunities to use other substances.
Mm-hmm.
Now you hear a lot more about impaired driving, and that may be one substance that could be, you know, deemed to be illegal, or it could be a legal substance,
right,
alcohol being one of them for age appropriation, or a combination. So what we've often seen now is that impaired driving may incorporate more than one substance in an individual's body that affects their driving. In Iowa, we have, you know, an OWI, an operating,
yeah,
while intoxicated, operating while impaired laws. We've had them on the books for many, many years. We use kind of an implied consent. So when people sign up for their driver's license, they are implying to the state of Iowa that, hey, listen, I'm going to abide by what you've put in place for making choices and decisions when I drive, one of them being that I commit to not driving impaired. And if, in fact, you ever find me as a driver in one of those situations, you as the state, through law enforcement,
mm-hmm,
you know, obviously it's not the Iowa DOT that's out there enforcing the drunk driving laws, it's law enforcement at the city, county, and state level, they have the right to test me and to make sure that,
right,
I'm complying by that based on what that law says. Now, you can't just pull over every driver and check them for being impaired.
Right.
as a law enforcement officer, I have to be able to articulate reasons behind that.
Right.
Maybe it's a driving case. Maybe it's an instance that you've stopped the car for an equipment violation. They've got a headlight out or a taillight. The driver seems to be lethargic or slow, or you can smell potentially an alcoholic beverage, or you see signs mm-hmm. of other, you know, drug use in and around the car. That all can lead and be able to articulate through that implied consent. One of the other things that may trigger implied consent is if there's a crash, and if that crash involves personal injury or fatality. Mm-hmm. That's a triggering mechanism to potentially test the occupants, or excuse me, the drivers of those vehicles that are involved through the implied consent thing. Now, there are some instances, certainly, when that driver does have the right to refuse that test. But Iowa has gone to a test refusal versus a test result penalty format. And a test refusal actually carries a little bit bigger penalty from a longer suspension time than a test result in that situation. If, in fact, there's a situation that, you know, you would look at that, there's always the opportunity for a law enforcement official to obtain a search warrant and to go through the proper channels. And that's what we've seen more and more of, right? Ultimately, from an investigating standpoint, I want all of the facts to come out. I want them to be known
right.
in my investigation. And the only way you're going to know that is if, in fact, you can obtain a blood draw or a urine sample or a breath test in an alcohol case at that moment. And, you know, as time goes on, that plays a factor. Again, way above my pay grade when it comes to that. There are people that could talk to you more about that. So, you know, the one way to obtain that potential sample, it could be through a search warrant, through the proper channels.
Right.
Again, you've got to articulate that to a judge at some level, and then, you know, he or she is going to issue that warrant for a removal. Again, it's not the officers that make that removal in a blood case. That's going to have to be done by
a
doctor,
blood
certified
test? Would it be a blood test taken at a hospital? Would
yes.
That be
yeah,
what
you take them to a medical facility.
Yeah.
You know, a urine test, you could administer that.
Right.
Certainly a breathalyzer test is administered by the officers,
right.
primarily at a jail or a sheriff's office or a state patrol
district
office.
For any other substance, so blood test would
you're
be
gonna
what
have to
you
use blood or urine test.
Well, anyways, we're just talking about the fact. One of the things that I see often is that, you know, you have a fatal crash. Maybe it's a single vehicle crash, and it's somebody is not wearing a seatbelt.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, how do you in any relatively even relatively modern car can you drive without having that? You don't put your seatbelt on. That thing's one. It's going to flash. It's going to keep flashing. It's going to keep flashing, and after a while, it's going to get louder and even more. It's going to ding all the time. You'd be driving along with that thing flashing and dinging the entire time.
Well, and that is true. Obviously, there are some safety factors and warnings that are built into those cars from the factory. However, and I don't think I'm throwing out any information that some of your listeners don't already know or couldn't figure out on their own, but you can YouTube just about everything in this world. And as it relates to technology, one of the things that, you know, you could potentially do is to watch a YouTube video how to pretend, you know, maybe disable some of those warning things. I would not recommend that. And certainly it wouldn't be lawful if, in fact, your seatbelt is required. But I went to I did a program last night and talked to some high school seniors, soon to be graduating seniors. And I'm like, listen, one of the things that I would encourage you, because we've had a handful of crashes that have occurred where seatbelts have not been used. You know, knowing what we know now, our seatbelt law in Iowa has been in place since 1986, 40 years. And I told them, let's twice as long as you've been alive. You have known nothing but being restrained in some way, shape, or form because you grew up with car seats, you went to booster seats, hopefully you're wearing a seatbelt, and I would strongly encourage you to continue that well into your adult years. And I think that is one of the things. You know, I'm a defensive driving promoter first. I always tell people to drive defensively. And second, put your seatbelt on just in case.
Well, the thing is, you got air, you know, you between the front airbags, side airbags, the seatbelt. You know, it's like, why would you try to defeat something that's going to try and save your life? That's a question.
Yeah, and the vast majority of crashes that occur, certainly those seatbelts are beneficial, right? They lessen injuries. They increase the likelihood to survive that crash if, in fact, it's a potential for a fatality crash. But seatbelts aren't 100% effective, and I always include that as well. You know, there are crashes that occur where, you know, for instance, a car train collision, heaven forbid one of those would ever occur. You know, your seatbelt's probably not going to be enough in those situations. And sometimes there's even discrepancies in the size of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Again, larger vehicles with more mass versus a smaller vehicle. So there's a lot of factors that play in, but that seatbelt is a very important thing.
Well, here's a question for you, and I've heard mixed statements on this, or read mixed statements on it, that you've got your driving, you've got your steering wheel. In that steering wheel, you've got an airbag that's going to be popping out if you have an accident. You got another one over, you got an airbag over on the right side as well. You might have side airbags as well. But it said, question mark is that, okay, I grew up, 10 and 2 was where you keep your hands on the wheel.
That's correct.
Now, according to the information I've read, 50-50, basically, nine and three.
Yeah.
Is 10 and 2 not right for driving?
Well, I'm usually a 10 and 2 driver as well, just because that's the way I learned.
Well, that's the way everybody learned, didn't they?
But I will tell you, there has been some transition in instructing that, you know, and we're using these numbers, we're talking about the numbers on the face of
right.
the clock, right? So 9 and 3 would be straight across. There's actually some indication that maybe at 4 and 8 is even better, where you're down below that. For me, that's not comfortable because I didn't learn that way.
So you're not. So that's when if the airbag should go off, you're going to be less likely to have an injury on yourself.
Yeah, and the idea is, you know, if your hand is outside of the potential scope of that airbag deployment, you're more likely to be able to remain in control of that car by keeping your hands on
right.
the wheel. It's not going to knock your hands off the wheel. You know, all of these things are going to happen so fast. And I think the reaction for most people would be if, in fact, that does occur, hopefully foot on the brake. In most cases, that's beneficial. And figure out where I can grab that wheel to get back on there if I continue to
drive. Okay, now, before we go to break, the fact that right now we were talking about the fact, that last year I was in Arizona and we were looking to do a ride share, and we got, I was trying to convince my wife, I think I told you this, convince my wife to take a Waymo, because we were in Phoenix, and said, well, let's take a Waymo to the resort. I'm not getting in a car with no driver, for heaven's sakes. But the question is that, and I remember we did to get it. We got an Uber or Lyft or whatever, and I'm driving along, and the guy says, I said, so Waymo was right next to us. I said, so how is this Waymo? How does it affect your business? And he said, that is our business. That's the future of all of our businesses. AI and Waymo are going to be changing the way that there'll be nobody driving Uber or Lyft. It'll be all self-driving cars. That's a question that comes up. From a state patrol standpoint, you know that's going to be, you know the technology is going to be happening. How does that?
I can tell you the way the current law is written, that's already been addressed, and they saw that a few years ago. So currently we still, even in a vehicle that has the capability for full driving capacity by the vehicle itself, the driver, the individual, the human being, still has to be located in the traditional driver's seat. That is written into Iowa law as of today. I can tell you that probably in the future that'll change.
In a Waymo, there is no...
Right.
There's nobody in the front.
Right. So then you look at the responsibility of what, you know, something happens, and I think the law also incorporates a little bit more of the potential owner of that vehicle being responsible. Haven't seen that yet in my career where I've rolled up to a crash with a driverless car.
But you know but it's coming.
You know it's coming. Yeah. And I think I mentioned this maybe one other time here, but there's an interesting interview of a gentleman by the name of Elon Musk, and people probably recognize that name.
Yeah.
Tesla being the manufacturer. But it's going to be more than Tesla in the future. And during the interview, they talk a little bit about what's going to happen with vehicles. And Musk is describing, you know, what he sees as the future. And at one point during that interview, he mentions the vehicles that he's going to manufacture will not even have steering wheels in them.
Right.
And the audience members laugh because they can't wrap their mind around a vehicle that doesn't have a steering wheel. And he goes on to explain the reason that it won't have a steering wheel, or if it does, it will be an option that you have to pay for into addition, is because you won't need it. The vehicle will not need to be corrected from a human being standpoint because it will be... And he uses a comparison with elevators.
Right.
And I think I mentioned this one other time.
Yeah.
Where now we push the button, it takes you where you want. In the old days, elevators actually had somebody that would manually operate them and make some small adjustments when you got to their floor because they weren't as accurate. That interview was done in 2016. That's only 10 years
wow.
ago. And the audience members, just less than 10 years ago, laughed at the concept of vehicles without steering wheels. They're already starting to implement some of those from Tesla's standpoint. I think it's called a robo-taxi, and some of the delivery vehicles. You mentioned Waymo and things of that nature. The future is here already, but what the next 10 years is going to entail, I have no idea. Certainly Iowa traffic law will have some opportunities to have to catch up. You know, a lot of times we play catch up with technology from a lawful standpoint. But as of today, that driver still has to currently be.
We're looking at what is the next stage. Okay, one thing is driverless delivery, driverless semis.
Right.
Those are the technologies out there. And now I don't know if they're in operation, but they have full technology available for that to happen.
I'm probably not going to live long enough on the face of the earth to see the Jetsons where things are flying around, but I bet my kids maybe my grandkids.
Those are around right now.
We're not too far from some of those things
standpoint. We are around right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
This is The Herd.
You got to be consistent.
With Colin Cowherd.
Mic check. Malik Willis. Here's why I love it. Because the new coach of Miami, Jeff Hafley, watched the last 2 years Malik Willis at practice. And the new GM of the Dolphins also comes from Green Bay. So this is not buying something off a used car lot where you don't know if they messed around with the odometer.
This is The Herd.
Weekdays 11 to 2 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Hi, Flo here to say that Progressive knows that life can change quickly, so it's good to have flexible coverage.
Oh, like when I have to take my ex off my policy.
Oh, sorry. But yes, we can do that.
And can you send them a message and tell them that they have trust issues that they need to work on?
We don't really get in the middle of these conflicts.
Also, can you let them know that I was faking interest in his band and it's probably time to grow up?
I'm not going to do it. Just know that with Progressive, you can easily make changes to your auto insurance because we know life changes.
Also, I'm staying in touch with his mom because she's absolutely lovely.
Bad idea.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
What if you could get access to GLP-1 weight loss treatments for just $39? With Selfie, you can access doctor-guided GLP-1 weight loss treatments and a personalized weight loss program for up to 80 to 90% less than name brand prices, 100% online, and the medication is delivered straight to your door. No long waits, no paying thousands out of pocket. Available with or without insurance. Just one simple way to get started. Text CLEAN to 797979 to see if you qualify. That's CLEAN to 797979.
At Coach House Garages, our buildings are more than just garages and backyard sheds. By combining your imagination with our experience, built from generations of Amish craftsmanship and the finest quality materials, we can build a garage that fits all of your specifications at a budget you can live with. To learn more about what we can offer, visit us online at CoachHouseGarages.com.
More than just a garage,
more than just a garage,
it's a Coach House.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
From the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Rob Sussman. The Iowa Army Ammunition Plant receiving federal approval to safely manage hazardous materials as it works towards long-term disposal solutions for lead azide, which was found at the plant. It was previously used in production, but it's now been reclassified as hazardous waste. In response, the facility requested and was granted an emergency permit under the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, allowing the plant to formally store and manage the material while a more permanent its disposal method is developed. The lead azide will remain stored in earth-covered magazines designed for explosive materials. The plant's commander emphasized safety remains the top priority for workers, the surrounding community, and the environment. The plant recently resumed operations following a precautionary pause that began March 12th after the material was discovered. Charges in a 2024 child sex abuse case against a Keokuk man have been dismissed, but he remains in custody in a separate case. The judge approved a motion to drop charges against 59-year-old Wayne Chamblee after prosecutors reviewed depositions and evidence and cited concerns about the reliability of testimony and potential trauma to children should the case proceed. Chamblee is still being held in the Des Moines County Jail on a separate case involving allegations of the sexual abuse of a mentally handicapped woman. A bill supporters say would give Iowans a clear right to repair their farm equipment has cleared review in the Iowa House. Iowa Farmers Union President Aaron Lehman says some manufacturers are voluntarily providing information to farmers about how to repair their tractors, combines, and other equipment, but that's not enough.
We need more than a voluntary agreement. We need something that has real teeth, real enforcement.
The bill, as written, would require manufacturers to provide free access to software that would guide through some of the process of making repairs, but key lawmakers say they would like to come up with some sort of access fee. Farm implement dealers are speaking out against the bill. From the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Rob Sussman.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump touching on Americans' pain at the pump since the war with Iran began in his speech to the nation.
This short-term increase has been entirely the result of the Iranian regime launching deranged terror attacks against commercial oil tankers in neighboring countries that have nothing to do with the conflict.
Gas hitting $4.08 a gallon for regular. That from AAA. Diesel checks in at $5.50 a gallon. Top Republicans moving this morning to end the longest government shutdown in U.S. history.
Now Speaker Johnson and Leader Thune are apparently on the same page supporting this Senate bill and say they're going to try to get ICE and CBP funded through the complicated budget reconciliation process.
Fox's Bill Malusian on Capitol Hill. The four-member crew of the Artemis II mission about 227,000 miles from its destination, the moon. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
A wind advisory in effect between 1 and 7 p.m. today. Look for showers and thunderstorms 90% likely and turning very breezy. A high to 72. South winds 15 to 25 will gust to 45 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. A low down to 45. A southwest wind 15 to 20 gusting to 35. Becoming northwest 5 to 10 after midnight. An increase in clouds on Friday. Showers and thunderstorms 70% likely after 1 p.m., a high near 73. Right now, we continue with rain, 52 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Wall Street is selling off this morning as investors believe the Iran war will last longer, giving back some of this week's earlier gains. Oil prices are soaring this morning, 10%, as President Trump's Iran war speech last night stoked fears of further escalation. The president said the U.S. will hit Iran extremely hard over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Oil tanker traffic through the Strait of Hormuz is unlikely to resume anytime soon. Prices at the pump went up again overnight. AAA says the national average for a gallon of regular is now $4.08, up $1.10 per gallon for American drivers since the U.S. first attacked Iran 5 weeks ago. Diesel is above $5.50 a gallon. That's what transportation uses, and those fuel prices could get passed down to consumers at retail. I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free, and you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Hear that? We just cracked open the window to spring. And if cracking your own home's windows isn't as easy, it may be time for a trip to Standard Beaverdale. Standard carries replacement windows in a variety of styles and sizes. Not only can quality new windows cut down on your frustration, they can cut down the cost of your energy bills too. What else is lingering outside your home that needs attention? Sagging front porch? Warped or stained siding? Missing shingles on the roof? Take one of these warmer days and take a walk around your home. Then take a trip to Standard of Beaverdale. They have all the materials for all of these projects that protect one of your largest investments, your home. They can even connect you with a reliable contractor to help you get the job done. Standard of Beaverdale's expert staff will have you in and out in no time and back to enjoying the spring weather. Speaking of in and out, check out new keyless entry systems for your home when you visit Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, opens 6 days a week.
With spring comes warmer temperatures and longer days. Spring can also bring nasty weather. Hail, wind, and rainstorms, even tornadoes, can pop out of nowhere. Hopefully everyone stays safe during these storms, but sometimes your vehicle does not. If your vehicle gets damaged, the Collision Center's team in West Burlington will straighten you up. With the same employees for over 20 years, their quality of work speaks for themselves. The Collision Center in West Burlington handles any collision repair, painting, frame straightening, paintless dent repair, and glass repair. They also work with all insurance companies. Let's hope you never need to call a body shop, but if you do, remember, no matter what insurance company you work with, you have a choice. Give the experienced professionals at the Collision Center a call. The Collision Center in West Burlington, located on Old Highway 34 by the 34 truck stop at 4000 West Mount Pleasant Street in West Burlington.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Have a paint can in each hand walking down the street. He is Jason Marlowe, though, and he's staying alive. He is with me today on the talk show. We're just talking about technology and how things have changed, and it's going to continue to change, and it's changing faster than we ever thought it was going to change. I think that's probably the other thing, is that we talked about vehicles, we talked about things. One of the things we are facing right now is it's raining right now. 2 days ago, I had a situation, or I think it was about between 8:30 and 9:30, that EAS alerts was going off about every 3 minutes, telling me exactly, and basically, taking it takes over. EAS takes over your broadcast. It's not a matter. It automatically does that. And every one of these radio stations, I don't care what radio station you're listening to, you're going to get, if there's a severe thunderstorm warning, you're going to get a message. It's going to automatically interrupt your whatever the radio broadcast is to put it in there. And it was going off every 2 or 3 minutes. I was like, well, what do I do? What am I doing? It's like, it's taking over. It's taking in control. Now, all I'm doing is basically repeating what it just said. But that's the other thing, is that when you have severe weather and you're out on the road, I've seen a lot of these pictures. I'm sure you have, too. I don't know if you've ever seen a tornado on the road. Have you ever seen a tornado?
I have not. Now, I've been in some severe thunderstorms, and even an event I remember one time that seemed like it was a tornado from a standpoint of, you know, wind and things that were happening. But I've never experienced that firsthand or
the question is, the question always comes up. And I had Shannon Prado, emergency management coordinator, and I asked her, I said, so, okay, you're in your car and there's you see a tornado. And you know when you've got a tornado warning, well, the tornado, okay, what does it say to do? If there's a tornado warning, go lay in a ditch. No, I said, no one's going to get into a ditch that's going to be full of water. I mean, they're not going to lay in a ditch. Where do they go? And she said the most common thing is they're on the freeway, they go on an underpass. And the fact that so the underpass, it's made of this concrete, it's firm, it's stable. Problem is that it's, according to my understanding, her understanding, and my understanding of her, that it's the worst place you can be if there really is a tornado.
Yeah, and I've heard that as well. And again, I don't know what the right answer is. There might not be a right answer in any of those situations. Kind of depends. I think the biggest thing would be, you know, we've heard those warnings, right? And most of them are in advance of approaching storms. And in situations like you're describing, if in fact it's a tornado event of some sort, usually there's a history or a path.
Right.
You kind of sometimes follow that. So the worst thing to do would be to put yourself in that situation. You know, is it a purposeful travel? Do I really have to be out and about? Do I need to go? If it's just one of the things that pops up out of the blue, then you got to make a decision.
Can I find an alternate route?
That's right.
Way away from whatever this is.
And again, I still worry a little bit about the aspect of driving wanting to record that. And, you know, it's interesting when you see, I'm going to talk a little bit about the media, but the TV from a standpoint. It's interesting to watch during storm coverage, no matter what station you're on. And they're talking about it, and they're telling people, seek shelter. Now's the time to get to your basement. If you're in this such and such town, this is the time, blah, blah, blah. But if you can safely get us some pictures and upload them to our Facebook account, we would gladly show them on the air. So, you know, people have a curiosity.
Yeah.
There's a fascination sometimes with storm chasing. And storm chasing in and of itself has become an entirely popular segment of social media.
Well,
you see that a lot.
It's not necessarily even storm chasing. It's the fact, it's okay, there's a tornado. Oh, the weather's extremely severe. Weather is hitting Burlington right now. What do people do? They get their camera. They get their camera. They
get their
phone.
Phone.
They get the phone out and they start taking.
Right.
And they say, well, no, this is, I can win an award for this or something. I've got to get a video of this, right?
And maybe that's nothing new. I can still think about times when I was a kid, maybe there was impending weather and maybe you'd duck your head out the window or, you know, walk out onto the front porch and take a look around, things of that sort. So, you know, people are curious. Again, I would look at if, in fact, it's a true weather event and you're driving, focus on the driving first, right? Find a safe and secure location. Don't try to outrun the storm. Certainly, you don't want to be driving and recording that going down the road. We still see the vast majority of incidents that involve severe weather with the vehicle being a flooding people driving through, you know, flooded roadways, their vehicle could be swept away.
Flash floods are the most dangerous of all of the severe weather.
You know, if it was me, I would probably still remain in my vehicle. You know, I'm not a lay down in the ditch guy. As you mentioned, if they're full of water, that's not going to happen.
I've been out on the road. I've been on my bicycle on Ragbri when it's been, there's been severe weather. I can see the severe weather is coming in, and I'm doing everything I can to get to the next town. I still remember, everybody else is doing the same thing. And it says, and in fact, if you look at in the manual, what is the safest place to be? Well, I said, the safest place for you to... I said, well, you're not going to lay down in a ditch just because it's full of water.
Right.
Get off the road and find a place where you can be. And sometimes you've got to get going a few miles. I still remember being a couple miles outside of a town, and I'm seeing the severe weather is coming in, and I'm going fast, and there's somebody else coming up. I remember saying, it's a twister. It's a twister. I said, they didn't think it was very funny, but that was another story. Now, the fact is, no, there really is. If you're on frankly, I think about it when I've been in the days when I was in the campground and you have severe weather coming in and you know, you got 15, 20,000 people. What are you going to do then?
Yeah. And those storms that occasionally will happen in the evening hours, you know, that those are be very very dangerous. But I look at most of the forecasts now. You know, we have some notice that maybe there's potential for severe weather through the National Weather Service. I certainly know
they do,
KBUR.
And Ragbri does a good job of getting they've got emergency
shelters. Well, yeah,
they've
got to have a plan.
They
right?
have to
that
have a plan.
Has changed so much over the years, and there's a lot that goes into that where you have to have some opportunity to put people in a better environment, hopefully a more stable structure than just being out in their tents and camping. But, you know, that's something that we've seen, both of us, during Ragbri. The last full week of July has the potential for severe weather, and I know all of those overnight communities, as well as the pass-through towns, have a game plan of some sort.
I can remember being at a campground and seeing, knowing that the tents, you get to the vehicle first, but you realize that the tents, all these dome tents rolling around just like they're a volleyball.
Yeah, there's been some tough days on Ragbri, but I remember one in particular where I was assigned north of Marshalltown, so it was about midweek on Ragbri. And I think that day the air temp hit somewhere around 100, maybe just slightly above 100. Little to no wind.
Yeah.
Super hot, terrible, miserable. Everybody was not having a great time that afternoon. That evening there was a really good chance of severe weather. And I think they had canceled everything downtown in Marshalltown that evening and told people it's time to hunker down. And it hit, and it was severe again. Now, the next day was great. I think the highs were back up into the 70s, but when that front works through. But they knew, again, the opportunity to maybe predict, as well as when it actually does happen, right? There's sometimes a track.
Yeah.
I watch the TV aspect of it for the most part, you know, and they're looking at their radar, and they're seeing wind directions that are moving away from the radar and towards the radar. Mm. And they're like, this could be rotation. There could be things happening right here if you're in such and such path.
Well,
so
you've got at
heed
least
those warnings.
I've got at least six different radar sites right on my phone right now. In fact, who doesn't? They're various. Which angle do I want to get to find out, and which one am I going to check in on? So the fact is, we have communication the phones are communication devices, but they're also devices that have every other connection. They're going to tell you where the weather is. They're going to tell you where it's coming from. They're going to tell you where you should not be, mostly, is what you're going to do.
That's right.
Yeah, that is the case. We're going to take another break. We'll be back.
This is Two Pros Bucks
and a cup of Joe.
Yeah, baby.
There hasn't been any progressive conversations.
I don't want to sound the alarm because I know that there's still time. But if you're the Steelers with the new league year starting next week, wouldn't you want an answer at some point?
Yeah, you want some clarity, but I think more of that clarity is going to come at the draft.
Two pros, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and a cup of Joe. Jonas Knox.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 8 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Technology has taken over the average American home, especially with mobile devices, TVs, computers, and gaming stations. Our children are growing up in this ever-connected world, and our lifestyles are increasingly reliant on energy consumption. Access Energy Cooperative wants to help you teach children how to use energy wisely. The first step is to help them understand why this is important. Help them understand that money saved on the family energy bill is money you could spend on a new game, and it helps the environment. Children learn by observation. If they see you turning off lights when you leave the room, they're more apt to pick up the same habit. And our young adults can benefit from learning how to program your thermostat for efficient use of your heating and cooling system. Taking them shopping for LED lights can be fun with all the new options available. If you need to replace appliances, explain the importance of looking for Energy Star models. Visit AccessEnergyCoop.com for games and energy-saving ideas in our kids section. Simple habits they learn today will last our kids a lifetime of energy savings. Access Energy Cooperative, a Touchstone Energy Cooperative.
This April, do not be the fool who puts off that appointment again. Your health is no joke, which is why Great River Health is serious about offering high-quality services and locations across Southeast Iowa that make it easy for you to access critical health care close to home. From family medicine and women's health to cardiology and orthopedics, view our full list of services, locations, providers, career opportunities, and more at greatriverhealth.org. Stop clowning around and make the appointment. Great River Health, right place, right care, right here. Starting June 6th, Great River Health is making your healthcare simpler, faster, and more connected with the launch of MyChart. What's that mean for you? A more intuitive patient portal that empowers you to access your medical records anytime, schedule appointments with ease, send secure messages to your care team, view test results as soon as they're ready, and manage your family's health all in one place. It's your health, your time, your convenience. All at your fingertips. Learn more at greatriverhealth.org. Great River Health. Right place, right care, right here.
Jason Marlowe is our special guest. He's the Iowa State Patrol 30-year veteran. He is, as we talked about, RAGBRAI all those years. Again, we're talking about the fact is that the key thing, part of all of the things we're talking about, is that it is National Distracted Driving Awareness Month. And, you know, there are so many more things to distract you in a vehicle right now, and so many things that you can. I mean, vehicles are doing two things. One is that they have a lot more. If there's a car coming in too close to me, that's going to start. I'm going to see a flashing car, and I'm going to get sounding alerts that are going to go on that tells me I need to get out of that way. If I get too close to one edge, I know I'm going to get a sounding alert there. If I'm backing up, I know I'm going to get a sound alert if I get close to another car. All of those things, frankly, those are things to keep you safe. But the fact of the matter is, they're also there's so many more distractions around those screens anymore. So it's like all of those things you thought you got rid of, you still have to deal with, don't you?
Yeah, and that technology again is not going to go away. It's going to be, you know, more and more commonplace, no matter what make and model that you buy into the future. And for the most part, it certainly does helps prevent the likelihood of a crash.
No doubt about it.
And we're thankful for that.
Jason Marlowe, have a great day. Thanks so much, Steve, for being with me.
You bet.